You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready, Mike?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Yeah, we are rolling on with the final hour of our week here in the morning. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle. All systems go for the opening of the Seattle Kraken at home Climate Pledge Arena tomorrow night. Can't wait to be there and report back to what it was like on Monday morning. When we booked Tyler Palumbas, who's joining us now from 104.3 The Fan in Denver, I don't think we realized that it would be such a rough night for the Broncos. So I'm sorry about that, Tyler. Hope that there's everything is okay. How are you doing today, man?
Oh, you know, we're breathing. Heads are getting called for around here. Things are going to be, well, a little bit grumpy on the show. I do the afternoon show, so, you know, I'm just kind of feeling it out, listening to everybody this morning, and let's just say that the city is not happy.
No, I would imagine D-Mac is going to be out there with some significant hot takes and ready for blood, and you know, you're going to have to keep him in line today, so good luck with that. You don't want to lose to the backup like
that.
You
know, unfortunately, I might be the one that's going nuts today. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to keep him in line.
Well, probably makes sense. We want to, not that we're not Broncos fans here, but, you know, we're not. So I wanted to spend a couple of minutes just talking some Seahawks with you. We were talking to Hasselbeck. So Matt Hasselbeck comes on this show every Wednesday and does an hour. And just tell stories.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you know, because you played with Matt for a year, he's about as good a storyteller as it gets. And so he's going into the Ring of Honor on Monday night for the Seahawks. And so I thought I'd ask you, what are your memories? And I know you're a pretty good storyteller yourself. What do you remember of playing with Hasselbeck for that year?
You know, I'm so excited for Matt. Obviously, well-deserved. You know, I played with a handful of really good quarterbacks. I played with Peyton Manning. And after Peyton, I put it, it goes to Matt. You know, Matt would be probably the most underappreciated quarterback I ever played with. I'm glad that Seattle and Seattle fans know what they had with him. I'm not sure that the NFL ever really fully understood how talented Matt Hasselbeck was or how good of a leader he was. You know, I got traded to Seattle, and I'd had a wild week. I got cut by Denver. I got claimed by Houston, Seattle, and Detroit. I had to go to Detroit because they had the worst record. I was there for like 6 days. Then I got traded to Seattle, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm just going through hell and back. I don't know where I'm playing. I don't know anything. I show up in Seattle, and I walk in the locker room, and the very first dude that walks up and introduces himself to me is Matt Hasselbeck. And, you know, he looks at me in the eyes, he shakes my hand, he says, hey, I can't tell you how excited I am to have you here. You're going to be a huge part of what we're doing. Why don't you come over and have dinner? Why don't you bring your wife? Is your wife in town? Why don't you and your wife come over and have dinner this week? So, I mean, on day one, I've got Matt Hasselbeck coming up to me and inviting me over to dinner, making me feel like I'm a part of things, making me feel like I'm important. And quite frankly, I was going through a lot that week. I mean, I'd just been given up by two teams. So to have him just kind of embrace me like that, it was the beginning of what turned out to be an incredible friendship. Love Matt. He's obviously a fantastic football player, but what nobody will ever understand is just the energy that he brought. And honestly, I was a little bit surprised that he never gelled with Pete a little bit better. I'm not sure if they didn't gel or what it was. They've got very similar personalities. They're so positive in nature that I just feel like I'm not sure if Pete ever really understood what he had in Matt.
I don't know that they didn't. It's an interesting question. First of all, I think Matt obviously had you over because he was desperate. I mean, he knew he was getting attacked. He was desperate for somebody to protect him. So whatever he could do, I don't know if he does that for everybody. I think you were in a special situation there. He needed you. But it's a good question about Matt and Pete. I think that they would have gelled if Matt had just been younger. I think Pete just at that point was he knew that Matt wasn't going to be their quarterback of the future. And there was no sense in committing to that because what they needed to do was go find their next franchise guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. I mean, you know, honestly, looking back on it, one thing that Pete and John were absolutely committed to, especially in the early years, were they were going to turn that dang building over, and they were going to do it 100 times over. You know, it was every Tuesday, it was roster turnover Tuesday, and we'd bring in, 8-10 different bodies, and eight or 10 different guys would get cut. So I think it was more just about establishing his new culture and, you know, whatever it was. But I do think that, looking back on it, like hindsight 2020, I won the Super Bowl in 2015 with the Broncos, and everybody's running Peyton Manning out of town. Well, we know what we've had since then. You think we should have had another year or two out of Peyton? You think we could have stuck another year or two out of him? I know physically he wasn't the same, but I think hindsight 2020, you shouldn't have ran Peyton out of town. He should have been begging him to stick around. I think Pete probably should have done that with Matt as well.
Talking to Tyler Palumbas, you hear him now on 104.3 The Fan in Denver, but of course, a guard with the Seahawks, and just interesting storyteller and a really interesting guy in general. It's a great lead-in to where the Seahawks are at now, where, you know, on one hand, you've got this Pete Carroll, and he wants to run the ball. On the other hand, you got Russell Wilson, who wants to cook and throw the ball more, et cetera. And I think that some of that same messaging is important for people to hear. Don't get sick of winning, right? Don't get sick of something that is working and has worked for a long time. And yet, Tyler, there's a real concern that those two guys aren't going to be able to coexist after this season.
Yeah, I get it. I do. You know, I've got nothing but positive things to say about my experience in Seattle. It was short-lived for me, one of my shortest stints in the NFL. I played 8 years, and I was only out in Seattle for a couple of years, but it was very memorable. And I enjoyed my time with Pete. But here's what I know. It's a very fun environment. You show up to work, and you got funny YouTube clips playing. You got music blasting. It feels like it's a party every day. But it is a little bit of a college atmosphere. And the message is very similar in nature day in, day out. And I do think that part of what he has to do in order to keep his message relevant and fresh, it requires a lot of turnover. And when you've got guys that have been around for a long time, like Russ, and you certainly saw it with the Legion of Boom, a lot of these guys, eventually, they just kind of wear thin of the exact same message. I'm not here to knock Pete. I like Pete. But I also played for Dan Quinn out in Atlanta. And, you know, it was a similar vibe, but it was different. Dan brought, like, all the positivity. He brought all the energy that Pete had. But he connected with us on a personal level that I guess I didn't necessarily connect with Pete on. But, again, I really don't mean to knock him, because I've got nothing but positive experiences and positive things to say about him. I love my experience there. It's just it's a different vibe than a normal NFL locker room.
You mentioned all of the turnover that was taking place at that time, and that's what I was thinking when I was thinking about how you went from team to team and then Matt was welcoming you in. Like, the Seahawks, I think, set a record for most number of people on a roster in 1 year in that season. I mean, they were doing everything, beating the bushes. Do you think that they need to bring some of that back? I mean, we don't see that level of turnover. Obviously, you weren't going to see it during the Legion of Boom years. But now that those years are over, do they need to be doing more of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you don't have a choice but to do that in the early days. And quite frankly, it's probably smart when you bring in a new regime. Hey, man, you just got to get rid of everybody else, right? You just don't want the hangovers, even if they're good football players. You just got to bring in your own guys so that they believe in your message and what you're doing. But when you get the stability that you've had with Russ in particular at the quarterback spot, I mean, you look at the great organizations. You look at Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and I'm not saying that they've been out there winning Super Bowls over the last few years, but they've had stability in everything that they've done. And turnover is not a huge part of what they're trying to do. I think that the great teams, they know when it's time to move on from older players, but they milk them for all they got, and they're not afraid to bring in older players that are done somewhere else. So I do think that what Pete did in the beginning made a lot of sense. But, man, when you got a quarterback like Russell Wilson, I'm shocked that they've gone through as many offensive coordinators as they have, because, I just give the guy whatever the heck he wanted and give him stability and say, let's go.
When do you think Russ is at his best? Is it with a wide-open passing attack, or is it with the run game?
No, he's just an off-schedule guy. You know, I do think a run game is important for us. He probably doesn't think that. I wasn't around Russell Wilson, but I stayed very close with Tom Cable and a bunch of coaches that are around there for a long time. And, you know, they would always talk to me about Russ and just how frustrating it was because you knew how good he was. Obviously he was different. He was better than anybody they'd had in a long, long time, but he was an off schedule guy. And that's tough as a play caller to get in a rhythm. And call plays for Russell Wilson. So, you know, as he gets older, I think he gets more challenging because the RPO style that was really so successful for him in the early parts of his career, you can't use it as often. He's just not the same player, and he's always done a great job of protecting his body, where I played with Robert Griffin as well, and we ran the RPO, and he did not take care of his body. So I think you can still utilize Russ's legs, but you got to get creative, and I don't think the hard part about being a play caller with Russell Wilson is you can't rely on tempo as much as you can and timing as you can with other Hall of Fame type of quarterbacks.
So I'm just trying to put this in perspective. So you get here, Matt immediately invites you over to his house for dinner. When did Marshawn invite you over?
Marshawn, I'll tell you a funny story about Marshawn. So my son is a diehard Seahawks fan, and I mean diehard. So he was born when I was playing in Seattle. And even though we live in Denver, this is my hometown, I won a Super Bowl here in Denver, he just latched onto the Seahawks. And so for his birthday, he's like, "Hey, Dad, do you think I could FaceTime with Marshawn?" And so I'm like, "Yeah, I bet you could." So I called up Marshawn. I'm like, "Hey, man, would you mind FaceTiming with my son for just a couple minutes? It's his birthday." And, dude, lo and behold, he spent 45 minutes with my son just one-on-one on a FaceTime call. I'm not going to lie to you. My son learned a few new words. There were a couple things that I had to explain that he didn't necessarily know what those words meant previously, but it was incredible. I mean, Marshawn never invited me over, but he did throw down a stack of cash after the Beastquake, and he did spend 45 minutes with my son on FaceTime. So I got nothing but love for Marshawn.
That's pretty awesome. That's that everything about that story makes sense. I just love it. Just perfect. Tyler, we appreciate it. Thanks for spending a little time with us, and let's try to do this again. It's good to talk to you. Continue. Good luck. I got to listen to your station quite a bit, and you guys do a heck of a job in the afternoon there, so keep it up, and thank you very much.
Hey, anytime. You guys hit me up anytime. I love coming on in Seattle. Love the area, and still a huge Seahawks fan.
Very cool.
Hit me up soon.
All right, there you go. There's all Tyler right. Palumbus. Good stuff from him. He was a guard, of course, with the Seahawks. Was out there on the field for the Beastquake, and you know, ended up going to Denver and having some success there. And he really does do a good job. I mean, in my previous stint in management, obviously we listened to some of the other shows and stations in our company. And there aren't that many. We only have a few sports stations in our company. We have us. We've got Phoenix. And you've heard those guys. You remember me kind of getting into it with their afternoon host down there. And then there's Denver and Sacramento. So it's really just those four sports stations. And he does an awesome job. He's really talented. Dude. I like Tyler.
Some insight on Russ that I haven't heard before.
Yeah, how he's hard to call plays for, right? That's kind of interesting, don't you think? I think that's true.
That and the insight on Pete that I hadn't heard before.
That Pete either. And Matt, that maybe they should have gotten. Like, it sounds like he didn't quite get
that's
the Pete
interesting.
Thing.
Well, he said he connected on a level with Dan Quinn that he didn't with Pete.
All right, so that was our first time talking to Tyler Palumbus, and there were some, I won't call them bombs, but they were like little cracks.
Some like
right?
layers we need to peel back.
Right, like little fissures where if we start like, you know, attacking them over the course of the next few months, maybe we'll learn more, right? So I appreciate that. I would like to talk to Tyler Palumbus. We're just getting to know each other. We've never met. So that's sort of a getting to know
yeah, he'll
you
wait
interview.
Before you start asking, yeah.
That's right.
Build the trust. I really, really liked the Marshawn throwing a stack of cash.
Right. What? Yeah, we're gonna throw a few Marshawn jokes, try to make him laugh a little bit, and then once we are like infiltrated his defenses, then we'll see if we can get some of the real story there. Because I get a sense there's a little something else.
Remind me someday to tell you the story of Marshawn when he came into the nightclub that I was working
at. In like 5 minutes right after Need to Know.
All right.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it was all good news for Rashad Penny. He was able to go 100% in practice yesterday. Pete Carroll saying that he has been practicing. So not just rehabbing, but actually practicing, which is great news as you look forward to seeing him in action on Monday night. I'm saying 100 yards. I know John Clayton thinks Alex Collins is going to be the starter. I know everyone's sort of negative on Penny. If he plays, he runs. That's what I think. He get him to 100 yards. I'm all in on this. I like his chances, actually, the way the offense is kind of shaping up for him now. Their line's in better shape. The team's committed to running the ball. We know that this week. And I just like the style of running attack that they have now. In the past, there were so many of the read option plays, etc., and I don't think that best utilized his skill set. Give him the ball running downhill in space. Use that breakaway speed. He's got it in a way that no one else on the team does. I understand John's point that Alex Collins had done enough to earn the backup job to begin the year and now the starting job. I'm not knocking Alex Collins, who I love, quite frankly, and I love his running style. But the reason why Penny continues to get those opportunities is because he can just flat out run faster than any other running back on this roster. Give him the ball, get him in space, and let him use his stuff, and he can be unique. We'll see what develops with Damian Lewis. He missed practice yesterday, but a good chance he will be able to go on Monday. And Daryl Taylor, I think this is amazing. Limited just a few days after he was immobilized and taken to the hospital, he could even end up playing in this game on Monday night.
He really feels like he's playing. He doesn't have any doubt that he can play. So we'll hold out hope that that's the case.
Meanwhile, Cleveland sure didn't need their starting quarterback. They beat the Broncos last night. Case Keenum came in, didn't turn it over, and some guy named D'Ernest Johnson ran for 146 yards. If he can do that, trust me, Rashad Penny can have 100.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
It was almost 5 years ago to the day, October 27th, 2016. That was the first time Tim Leiwicki and the Oakview Group became associated with a project at Seattle Center. Well, 5 years later, the Kraken are going to be playing their first home game in the building that was first mentioned that day. We've obviously been through a ton to get here, but I'm pumped. So excited to go to the game tomorrow. Whatever, I'll deal with the traffic, the parking. Who cares? I'll handle the concession costs. I'll gladly pay up the nose for whatever it is I want to eat or drink, because this is what it means to be a sports fan, to love sports. There's nothing that brings community together quite like sports, whether it's political differences, gender, race, you name it. 16,000 people all wearing the same jerseys, all cheering for the same team. I think that is what it's all about. And you see the same thing with music. You see the same number of people all singing along to There Goes My Hero on Tuesday night with the Foo Fighters or whatever Coldplay will end up singing tonight. That's great. That's why you end up building these arenas. It was an amazing accomplishment. I know a lot of people said it would never happen because of the site at Key Arena and the city, etc. But kudos to Tim Leiwicki. He navigated the whole thing, and for that, we should be thankful. As for the game tonight, Kraken try to get their second win on the year. They take on a Vancouver team that is just 1-2-1. NBA action last night, 46 for Steph Curry. Golden State beats LA Clippers, and the champs go down to Miami. The Heat beat the Bucks by 42.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
It's interesting talking to Jerry DePoto. When we asked him in June about an extension for Mitch Haniger, he did not sound particularly positive. And yesterday, sounded like that had changed.
I've always had the belief that this is where Mitch wants to be. And if that works out and we're able to come together on it somewhere down the road, then that'll be a wonderful outcome for both of us.
It sure would be. Haniger enjoyed a great year, bounced back from two lost seasons, set a career high with 39 home runs, 100 runs driven in. He does have one more year of team control, so you don't need to do anything with him yet, but he'll be a free agent next year at the age of 32. Now, look, that's a little old to start throwing around big contracts for a player of that age, and certainly with his injury history, so you got to be careful. But isn't there also something to be said for leadership, consistency, and just the veteran presence that would balance out some of the youth movement that we all know is coming? More than any of that, though, it's a sign, it's a bat signal to players both on the team now and then potential additions as well, that the Mariners are serious about winning. They're ready to go all in, as Haniger asked of them in that recent column in the Players Tribune. As for potential free agents, ask Jerry DePoto about them as well. Asked about the five big shortstops, and he said they're committed to J.P. Crawford at the position, but that fitting into the clubhouse and positional flexibility will be key factors in determining who they attempt to go after. So, yeah, that's something to watch for. Don't look at the box score for last night's NLCS. You don't want to know that Chris Taylor was 4-for-5 with 3 home runs. That is just information none of us need. Dodgers win 11-2. They'll head back to Atlanta. Game 6 tomorrow, Braves up 3-2. Red Sox, Astros tonight. Nathan Eovaldi and Luis Garcia. That's Game 6. Astros looking to close things out at home. And that is everything you need to know.
So
Yeah, tell me your Marshawn
story.
Year,
I think everybody that has come across Marshawn has a Marshawn story. So this is not going to be unique to just mine. But I worked for a music radio station for a long time. And part of that was I was asked to be an MC at nightclubs on weekends. So there was a few that I bounced around on Capitol Hill and then Pioneer Square. One of my favorites also being Cowgirls Inc. in Pioneer Square. That was a really fun place for us because of the amount of Seahawks fans that we got to interact with. But Seahawks players themselves. This was around the time... Seahawks are getting into both the Super Bowl years, so there's a lot of Golden Tate, there's a lot of Russell Okung. I don't remember ever seeing Baldwin. There are a lot of players that came in, except Marshawn had his extremely different way of entering and exiting the club.
Okay.
He would, I don't know who he had on his team that was got in contact with our people there. He would have a radio in, hey, the back door needs to be open. The back door was where the DJ booth was sort of set up in this particular club.
Okay.
So when it would open, a big gust of cold wind would rush in. There'd be some light from the street. You'd hear some noise. You'd see some people trying to run in with someone. I was like, what is going on? Why is the back door open? That should never be happening. In walks, fully tracksuited, hood up, beanie on, sunglasses, hands in the front pocket of the hoodie, some oversized sneakers. And I was like, what is happening? Who is this person? It's a dark nightclub. Finally, the strobes are going off enough. I'm like, oh, that's Marshawn Lynch. I'm like, okay, right on, Marshawn. So I'm on the microphone. I ask his people right away. I was like, hey, does he want anyone to know he's here?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care, boss. I'm like, okay. So I was like, everyone, Marshawn Lynch is in the club, you know, makes noise for him, whatever. Walks up, gets into his private area. And now there's a back bar next to the DJ booth as well. My friend, I forget her name right now, Katie, is working the bar. And I see her mixing drinks, and I walk over, and I'm like, wait, what is that? And she goes, you'll never guess what he ordered. And I was like, no, I won't.
All right, hold on. What does Marshawn Lynch order when he walks into the bar? Well, he won't even tell us what's in his Uber Eats order. So I feel like you might be like invading his privacy.
I think
here.
This is pretty public now.
All right, what is it?
Patrenacy.
Patrenacy.
Which Patron is exactly Hennessy? What it sounds like.
Oh, interesting.
Patron and Hennessy mix.
Patrenacy.
Patrenacy.
That sounds disgusting.
And he sat all by himself upstairs in the VIP booth. Bunch of people around him. He just kind of stayed to himself. He didn't go out and dance. Like, and I was just like, this is the most Marshawn thing.
You know who else? Oddly, the only other person I know who orders that exact same drink order is Brock Heward. And I know you probably wouldn't guess it, but it's one of the many things in common between Marshawn Lynch and Brock Heward. Brock will join us next. It is the Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, buddy. How we doing? How's Ames?
Good morning, Michael. I'm doing good. I'm on top of the bed. I'm not in bed. I'm on top of bed. On these Fridays, it's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
During football season. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, on my way to Ames. Going to get actually a little workout in down in the hotel gym here before I got to head out.
Yeah.
But,
Humble brag.
All is good in the hood.
Make sure you slide that in there. Make sure everybody knows. Yeah, no, it's fine. Humble brag it that you're going to be doing a little working out.
Oh,
I get it.
The humble brag?
Not a humble brag.
Okay, humble brag.
Sure.
Well, not even a humble brag. It was 5 years ago, the story you wrote, bro.
Look, how about happened. That? That's just full. I'm just full on bragging today. Yeah, I was right. How about that? I was right. And I know there's people mad and think that I'm gloating and taking a victory tour. Suck it up. I am taking my victory tour today because I'm going to the arena tomorrow. And I dealt with more garbage, not just from listeners, but from other members of the media in this town telling me that I was on people's payroll and that I was crazy and that I was against sports fans and all of that. And here we go. We're going to go watch the Kraken tomorrow night. I can't wait.
Pretty cool. Cool play tonight, too. And I think what you felt that day and what you understood in that moment where others didn't is, A, you had a little background in Southern California living there and knowing kind of that Lewicki name. Certainly folks here knew his brother's name, and Todd is now a part of it. And you just kind of started to connect the puzzle pieces and put it together and say, here's some guys that have relationship with the leagues, number one. Here's some guys that have done it before all over the globe, number two, and have experience doing so. And number three, I'm sorry, man, you can't have animosity when you try to work with a city, and as difficult as it can be and as difficult as they can be, and the animosity, unfortunately, that Hansen's crew had, I mean, that was at the center of what they were trying to get done. And it just doesn't, in the real estate development world, having lived in that world a little bit, you know, that's just not how it works. So put all those things together, and yes, 5 years later, by all accounts, watch some of the pictures and videos that people have posted. The place looks incredible. Yeah. And tomorrow night, man, I wish I could transport myself from Ames, Iowa, when that game ends, right to Seattle, Washington, and the Kraken begin, because that's going to be quite a scene tomorrow night.
Are you ready for Monday night when Rashad Penny rushes for 100-plus yards?
Sure, yes. Are you seeing that in your future?
Huh?
Why don't you write about that right now?
I've already said
it. We don't have to wait 5 years.
Right.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We can see in 3 days whether your prophetic ways are still as strong as they were 5 years ago.
Are you buying this one? Yes? No? Rashad, 100 yards? Some guy named DeErnest ran for 140 last night. You don't think Rashad Penny can run for 100 yards? He's a first-round pick.
That dude ran hard last night, huh? And what a testament. I mean, that is a testament to, hey, this is our style of ball. This is who we are. And it doesn't really matter if we're down tackles, if it doesn't matter if we're down two or three running backs. You know, everybody has such conviction and buy-in with Kevin Stefanski there, and this is how we're going to go about it. And they didn't score, frankly, a ton of points, but they scored enough. And more importantly, with the game on the line, they didn't give the ball back. And they ended up finishing, which is what the run game is supposed to be and supposed to do. And whether it is Penny or if it's Alex Collins, and I think there were some favorable reports this week, right, that he may be actually able to play Monday, like Daryl Taylor.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know if we feel quite as good about that.
Oh, not really?
Well, Pete said he was going to practice,
and then he didn't.
Okay. So it was one of those moves. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah. That's not good. So it's going to be a lot of Penny and Homer world. Do I think he's going to run for 100? No. Do I think he could run for 50 to 70 and DJ Dallas and Travis Homer and the rest of the crew come together and hopefully get the first round pick back off of his concussion, which has just continued to linger and linger and linger? And can he add in 10, 15, 30 yards on jet sweeps and all of a sudden you run for 140 or 50 combined? Yeah, that is absolutely has to be the recipe. They showed you last night. The Browns showed you with a backup quarterback the recipe for winning. The Seahawks showed it in the second half in Pittsburgh. Mike, and that is going to have to be once again on display Monday night.
Hey, did you hear any of Jerry DePoto yesterday? In addition to some really positive thoughts on Mitch Haniger, I was asking about the five big shortstops that are out there, and this was his comments.
You know, for us, one of the key elements is we have a shortstop that we love, and you know, JP's our shortstop, and we feel like he is, you know, an anchor on our infield and an emotional leader for our team. So one of the things that's important to us is finding a player who is adaptable and willing to move around the field and maybe get a little uncomfortable. And there's some of those guys that already have done that in their career. Guys like Semien and Baez have done that.
So Semien, Baez, we'll take Corey Seager off the list for now for obvious reasons. Semien, Baez, Correa, and Trevor Story. What do you think? What do you want to do?
Well, I think Semien would be the most natural. He knows the division. He's played in Oakland. He was your kind of nemesis for a bunch of those years. He's played third. He's played second. So I think he would be the most natural. You know, I think you're going to have to do a deep dive into personality. You know, I think as much of those guys, all those guys are uber talented. You know, they've all produced.
Mm-hmm.
Story, you'd be a little bit more nervous about. You got a great arm. I think he could play third as well defensively. But, you know, can he hit consistently enough? Got great pop. Watched him a little bit, obviously, and you know, but is he a product a little bit of some thin air and hitting in Colorado? And how exactly does that treat? He's probably the floor, and Semien would be the ceiling, and then Baez a little bit of a wild card in between, kind of.
There you go. That's Brock Heward, who joins us every day at 7:45 and again at 9:30. And yeah, I mean, you start going through those shortstops. There's some options in there. Baez is intriguing, and he does have a lot of personality. Is it too much? Maybe. And I think when you hear Jerry say, not just positional flexibility, but personality, will he fit in? That's a question mark. I don't know the answer to it, but it's at least something you got to find out.
Yeah.
Same is true with Correa. Same might be true with Semien. I've heard some questions there. So, yeah, there's a lot of homework and research to be done, and Jerry's obviously doing his due diligence right now, but they got to go for it, right? You got to try to come back with one of those five guys.
Can you imagine getting two?
Of course I can imagine it. I could put Baez at second base and
Story at third,
maybe, or then go trade for Jose Ramirez from Cleveland. Yeah, I could imagine that. Go put Jose Ramirez at third base. Go put Javi Baez at short. Put him with Ty France and JP Crawford. Yeah, I can imagine that. Anybody else?
Leave JP at short. You meant leave?
Or what did I
say? You want to put Javi at short?
Sorry, no. I'm going to put JP at short.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. You know what? We'd mentioned Jose Ramirez. What do you think? We were talking WAR earlier, right? Kyle Seager, like a 2 WAR last year. You know what? Any guesses on Jose Ramirez last year?
The way you're setting it up, I'm gonna have to believe it's over 4.
6.7.
Oh, way over 4.
So you can really alter. I mean, you can really legitimately change your infield. It could be so much better than it was this year. It really could be. That would be 4 players across your infield that should average 5 or 6 wins per person. Let's do that. All right, in the meantime, Justin, you're giving me all kinds of grief earlier about the whole robo-umps thing, and it leads perfectly to our final ranked of the week. Don't go anywhere. It's next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, well, Justin's been giving me grief about robo-umps. I'm just not in favor. I don't have any good argument, really, other than that I don't want it.
I was expecting there to be more hate for the robo-umps on the text line, and it sounds like I'm the only one that really wants a robo-ump.
No, I think you're probably in the majority. A lot of people like the robo-ump, and Jerry DePoto agreed with you. He said that he would prefer it, and it's going that way eventually.
Yeah, the inevitability of it.
I know, what a bummer. So with that in mind...
Yeah, what are we going to do without Joe West and Laz Diaz and Angel Hernandez?
Well, DePoto said
Jim
a mix
Joyce.
Of human and robot. Right.
Well, couldn't you just get good umps?
Like, yeah.
How about just firing those guys?
How about maybe for the playoffs, you take the guys that have the most consistent throughout the year, those little right. diagrams that you have, and put them behind the plate?
Do that. All right.
Why don't they do that?
They should. I'm in favor of that Oof. More than just replacing them with robots. But with that in mind, we are presenting robots ranked.
Yes. Number 5 has to be the obvious one. I mean, I wanted to go with WALL-E, but I didn't. I went Optimus Prime, Autobots, Rollout. Optimus has got to be on this list. I like WALL-E. I'm sorry, Wally, you got bumped.
Optimus Prime, is that played by the same Hugo Weaving, right? Isn't that what we figured out? The same guy from The Matrix who's Agent Smith.
And Lord of the Rings.
And also Lord of the Rings. He's the head of the elves.
I think so.
That guy's got the greatest voice.
Yeah, that guy has been in like every major trilogy.
Seriously. Okay.
So Optimus Prime is my number 5 and the best robots. Number 4.
You're not old enough to remember playing with Transformers, though, right?
No. They were awesome.
Man.
I was told to go outside and play with sticks and the guns
as
a kid.
But Transformers came out when I was like of the age to play with stuff like that. There were some imitations. There was Mask and there was GoBots. Some people in their early 40s may remember either Mask or GoBots. Mask were actually pretty awesome. But by far the best Transformer, Optimus Prime was great, but the best Transformers were the Decepticon planes.
Okay.
Those were by far the best Transformers. There were 3 of them, 3 different colors, and those were sweet.
Optimus Prime is number 5. Number 4, one you'll probably recognize, and I'm glad that we got this one brought up in the studio because he is and he deserves to be on this list for greatest robots, Cletus.
Cletus is awesome. You're
From
talking
Fox
the Fox Sports NFL robot.
Yes.
There's Cletus' music. Now, do you know who Cletus is?
Cletus is pretty sweet.
I like when he jumps with both feet and points. That dude's super
He's
athletic.
Clapping.
Yeah.
Cletus is great. And I also didn't realize that it was, I mean, I hear the name Cletus. I'm like, cool name. And I'm like, it's like cleats.
Yeah.
Cletus. Got it. Okay.
He is super
Smart.
Athletic for a robot. He's very nimble, moves well, good burst.
So a non-athletic robot that is going to move into the number 3 spot,
okay.
Cletus number 4,
yes.
does not move well. C-3PO.
Yeah.
Great robot. I mean, he's exactly what you imagine when you think of a robot, at least in my world. He is, when I think of a robot, the embodiment of one.
So you go C-3PO,
over
either
R2-D2,
R2-D2
yes.
or what about Dot Matrix? From,
I'm more of an R2-D2 fan.
I just want something that's a little more human. I want something with hands and a face.
Dot Matrix, I mean, you know.
Dot Matrix is good. But
trying to get her oil changed.
There would be no Dot Matrix without C-3PO. So C-3PO is number 3. Number
right.
2, this was really hard. I wanted this to be number 1, but Short Circuit Johnny Five.
I've never seen Short Circuit. I don't know why. I should have, but for whatever reason, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Is that Steve Guttenberg?
If you don't watch Mighty Ducks and Johnny Five within the next month, we're going to have a whole lot of beef to sort out.
You know, Short Circuit is of my era. There's no reason why I haven't seen it.
Short Circuit 2 was good.
And I love Steve Guttenberg.
I love, love Johnny Five.
Mm.
Okay, so okay. that's number two
on your list.
Any guesses on number one?
The number one robot of all time. Now, here's the question is, are we considering... So droids are robots in your worldview, right? Because we just had Star Wars. What about about
Hugo
cyborgs?
Weaving. Hugo Weaving is Megatron.
Oh, okay.
We were way off.
Sorry. Not that far off. What are you considering cyborgs to be robots?
No, because so, that would also put in, wouldn't, I mean,
Terminator, right? I mean, so is Arnold considered a robot?
No, I don't think a cyborg can be a robot.
The T-800, what about the T-1000? No human skin on that.
Don't think so.
Not a robot.
I don't think so.
What about
I was
the
thinking
robot?
RoboCop 2. No, I don't think so.
RoboCop.
I don't think that should be number one.
Really?
Don't think
what
so.
What about, all right, I've got a couple other ideas of things that could be on this list. You said Wally wasn't on the list,
no,
right?
I bumped Wally for Optimus.
What about the robot from Rocky IV that's helping the kid and chasing him around the whole time?
I don't remember Rocky IV
All right,
that
you've
one.
Got Max from Flight of the Navigator.
No.
There's the robot in Space Camp that sends them those kids off into space.
No? I don't think I saw Space Camp.
The 80s had a lot of robots. People were fascinated by the idea of robots in the 80s, so a lot of 80s movies had
Austin
robots.
Powers had the Fembots.
True.
But they were a little more skin-like. I mean, there's a lot of robots in Men in Black. Okay, no, number one, the original, the greatest robot of all time, Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons.
Oh, yeah, she was good.
She belongs there.
But absolutely belongs to be at the top of this list.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, pretty cool.
Feel good about it?
Yeah, it's a good robot. I'm glad Cletus, I probably would have Cletus a little higher. Good list.
Okay, I was like, I'm waiting to get beat up on this one because my robot uptake didn't go so well, at least from the beginning.
Danger Will Robinson. That's from... what
Lost
is that
in
from?
Space?
Yeah. I never watched that either.
I can't believe the 206. Cletus is stupid. I hated it from the very beginning. I was hoping it was going to be a one-year thing.
Do my kids legitimately, when like I'm watching football, will come in and ask what station it's on because they're hoping it's Fox.
I love they want to see Cletus. I think Cletus is great. And I also kind of wanted to have some friendly robots. I don't know, like all the mean ones. Those are fun. RoboCop wasn't friendly and fun. He wasn't welcoming and fun.
That poor robot in Space Camp sent all those kids up into space. He almost killed them.
Short Circuit. Yes, that
I
was.
Still don't know
what
about
saying.
This Space Camp. Movie.
Space Camp's
Five.
A great movie. We just rewatched it recently. It kind of holds up.
Like it doesn't. Okay, I'll have to watch up. It, but
it's
you have
good.
To watch the Mighty Ducks.
All right, one day we'll get right on there. All right, we got to get out of here. Oh, batteries not included. That was another one. Maybe that's the one with Steve Guttenberg. I kind of confused them. All right, we're done for the week. We're going to have fun. The three of us are going to get together Saturday night, tomorrow night, watch Kraken together in person. So we'll report back on Monday, and then we'll be talking Seahawks leading up to the game Monday night. Stick around for Jake and Stacey. We will be here on Monday. They'll be up next. And, see ya. Goodbye. I'm done. Stop talking.